Blog Talk Radio.
You need to know what to pick up today.
Yes.
Do you know? That's what I was asking.
I just said, do I need to know? No. Yeah, no, I do not know what I need to pick up. Except I know, I do know I need the files for tomorrow's clients.
Right.
And for Friday's clients.
Right. That's it. Because
Roner and Grove and Sandria. She's on.
Hello?
Hello, this is Margaret Novak.
Hi, Margaret. How are you? We're going to start taping soon. Adrian will be on in a few seconds, okay? Hang on.
Okay, sure.
Okay. Margaret, hang on. We'll be with you soon, okay?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks for calling in today.
You're welcome. I'm sorry about last week.
Okay, good. So I have you. Can I get your title and how you want to be called?
Margaret Novak, the president of Moving Solutions and the founding president of the National Association of Senior Move Managers.
So it's president of Moving Solutions. And the founding president?
Yes, of NASM.
And what does that stand for? National
Association?
National
Association of Senior
yes.
Move Managers.
Of senior?
Senior Move Managers.
Senior Move Managers. Excellent. Okay, hang on. Hang on.
Hello, this is Margaret Novak.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good, this is Adrienne Berg. I'll be doing the interview. And,
okay.
Okay, so I have the full title here. Now, the way we do this is we're going to go live to tape. You'll hear some music, and I'll introduce the show. I'll introduce our topic, and we'll do two segments together. At the end of the first one, I'll just I may have to cut you off. It depends. It's a timed thing. And then we'll come back on. Of course, the topic will be what you do. But also, I do want to talk about the emotionality of it, the issues that may come up that baby boomers face in helping their parents move and that the mature adult might face. So
okay.
If you want to break that down a little bit, you tell me how you would like me to ask those questions, because I'm sure you've got the answers.
Well, what we do, I think, is part and parcel with the issues that older adults face when they move and that their adult children face when they're helping them. I think it is all intrinsically combined.
Right. Now, if somebody has stuff that they just breaks their heart to give away, but they're going into a smaller place, do you part of your service could help them with that?
We have many options for donation.
Right.
I have found that what breaks people's heart or what they have a harder time with is not parting with things. It is accepting that the things that they are parting with have very little monetary value.
Okay.
That's what breaks their heart. Most people, yes, downsizing is hard. It would be hard for any of us.
Right.
But there, it is certainly equally as big an issue, how hard it is to downsize. I think what overwhelms people is not a sadness of letting it part. What overwhelms them is the quantity of decisions they need to make. Imagine
right.
if you went through everything in your house and said, I can take 50%.
Right.
I have to make a decision about everything I own. Does it go or not go?
Right.
That's what's truly overwhelming.
Okay.
And I think that is more... In my experience, the immense sadness is I mean, there are a lot of memories, but it can be very satisfying to sort through as well. I mean, there really are. It's both liberating because it's less clutter, but what I hear all the time is I go into someone's home and there's 50 years of accumulations, and I say, "What is your biggest concern?" And they say, "How to sell my dining room set."
Got it.
And how to sell the dining room set is, I know, not the problem. It's either sellable or not, meaning someone wants to buy it or not, depending upon what it's like. Their big problem is that they have 5 bedrooms, a full attic, a full basement, and a garage that need to be sorted through. But it is much less intimidating. It's much more fun to focus on how do I sell my dining room set than to face the number of decisions they need to make.
So I'm going to tell the producer we're ready to go, and we'll be talking just like that, okay?
Okay, you got it.
Stuart? Yes, we are.
When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair.
He sees hair on his head and not on his shoulders, and that may be because he's really not looking close enough, or he doesn't want to see what he's really seeing. And this is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. The Fountain of Truth about what? About aging. And I really can't think of any topic where the issue of truth comes out so much and so organically as when you have to move. So we have a terrific show today. We're speaking with an expert on moving for seniors and what it really means to dismantle your house without dismantling your life. And we're also going to be speaking with Bob Blancato, and you know him because he has now been named the chairman of the American Society on Aging. He's just coming off a 3-day intense conference in Washington, D.C., that has to do with aging, and it's really going to be the question of what are the themes of the future that we have to be looking at when it comes to our successful future. So, as you always know, you can go to generationboldradio.com. You can suggest guests, topics with us. Also, we have a beautiful, beautiful photo gallery filled with people from 60 to 100 and more and what they're doing in this world to make a contribution. And last but not least, please click on to the Ageism Police where we ferret out, and we'll be doing that today, ageist movies and advertising, articles, politicians, and anybody else you can think of that should be outed for their ageism. We have some funny bits there and some very, very serious bits, and you're going to hear one very, very soon. But first, I want to say hello to Margaret Novick, and she is the founder and the president of the National Association of Senior Move Managers. So thank you for being with us today.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
So let me start with the obvious. Tell us what a senior move manager is.
A senior move manager is a professional that works with older adults and or their families in times of transition. Usually we are helping people relocate to smaller quarters. Sometimes we're helping them declutter and stay in their own home. They want to be able to age in place, but know that the current environment doesn't work the way it will need to work for them, or clutter has accumulated, or they want a different lifestyle. And sometimes we're contacted by family members for assistance who may live out of town and want someone who can almost act as the family, helping their parents through this transition.
So one of the very interesting things that we were chatting about before the show was the fact that people have a hard time with the value, the actual monetary value of what they own. They seem to think it's more, and I would like to ask you, one, how you help them evaluate and how you help them get over maybe the pie-in-the-sky thoughts they have about the value of what they've been living with?
Those are tough topics. Most people imagine that the things that they have treasured in particular, things like Yadros or Hummels or fancy dishes, have a lot of value. First, they think that their children will want them. That usually doesn't happen. And then they think that these are able to be sold for a good price. And in today's market, people are not buying a lot of the collectibles that were once deemed the treasures of many people. So we have articles that from Huffington Post and other authorities that discuss what's going on in today's market. We may show them what things are valued at eBay, and then they can make decisions of do they want to try to sell it or do they just want to donate it. And that there are many, many people who opt for donation.
Now, let me ask you about this.
But there is no magic wand that makes people not disappointed.
So
it is hard to think that something you thought was a treasure is not valued today.
To the next guy. Yeah, and as you said, it's very hard to believe that your kids don't want it. But I think we're getting there. I think we're all realizing that our children don't want it because as baby boomers, we didn't want our parents' stuff. I remember giving to a friend of mine a set of Victorian furniture, and it belonged to my aunt. And she called me. She was a very honest person and a friend. And she said, I had this evaluated. It's very, very valuable. Now, remember, this was the 1960s. I said, you know what?
Right.
I don't want it. I don't want it. I didn't want the money. I didn't want the burden. I didn't want to look at it. I didn't want to see a carved bird on the hand of a chair. I had no interest. And, you know, maybe years later, as a mature person, I regret my giving up my inheritance. But I get it. And I believe my
well,
kids
you know,
are not going to want what,
also,
what I have. Yeah.
I think today's generations are more willing to be direct with their family members about
yep.
not wanting things.
I think
I remember
so too.
When I inherited a etched crystal service for 50. It was service
Ugh.
For 10, five pieces of crystal for each place setting. I inherited it after my mother died, and my grandmother was still alive. And when she found out that I sold it at auction, she was irate. So it was something that I inherited that theoretically was mine. But when we accepted things from our parents, we often were accepting gifts with strings.
Yeah, I mean, the idea...
Because we weren't really free to do whatever we wanted to do with them.
Yeah, I mean, heirloom is such an old word, but I want to ask you, I was speaking with Margaret Novick, and she is the founding president of the National Association of Senior Move Managers, people who help you move. If you're somebody changing your lifestyle, downsizing, helping an older parent move, and becoming a member of the family, particularly if the other members of the family live in another state. So this is a group of people that are really close to you for a period of time in your life. So I want to go the other way, since money is an issue. Oh, you know, we see these things like the roadshow where people have items that they don't think are valuable, that are valuable. Are you able to detect or help people look up or find experts if they may have something that's valuable?
We have resources, but
yeah.
I believe that most people who are focusing on the value they may get from collectibles are missing the strategic issue of where the real opportunity to make money is.
Okay.
The opportunity to make money is not in selling a half dozen things that you think are collectibles. The opportunity to make money is in getting your house ready to go on the market.
Uh-huh.
Because there are many people who would rather focus on the fate of collectibles than deal with their closets, decluttering, getting their house positioned to sell. And that's where the difference of decluttering can make $5,000, $10,000, $20,000 in what their house sells for. Strategically, that's the business decision that people should be focusing on where they have the real opportunity to make money. It is not in how do I sell a sugar bowl.
Right, so staging is part of this. And my question, again, that we discussed before, you talked about the overwhelming, these were your words, it's overwhelming to make many decisions. That is so right on. How does a move manager help people make these infinite numbers of decisions?
That's a question we are asked all the time. How do we help them make the decisions? And the answer is we're not making the decisions, our clients are. But we do provide a structure and a process. And we are not the family member. We are not going to be judging them. We will give realistic statements about what we think will fit, how much decluttering is going to be required to maximize the house's marketability. We're not telling them what they can or can't take. So we are letting the clients be in control. And that's a huge part of the decision-making process because so often with family members, there's a war of wills. And we've seen clients sort of put a line in the sand saying no more. And what that is also about is I'm not going to be parented by my children and told what I can and can't do by my children. And move managers work for the client. So we are there to provide assistance in accomplishing a goal and being more effective. But we're not there to give them orders.
And I do think that the fact that you are an objective observer, that you're not a family member, probably does help in the decision-making. In some way, on some psychological level, it's soothing. I think it's more soothing to have a professional helping you do this a little bit more objectively and saying, hey, you know, you're never going to fit this into the next place, but you're going to get a nice tax deduction. Whereas for a child, it's so bound up with so many kinds of emotions. And
that's right.
That it's very, very hard not to
the control issue. The control issue is also huge. And I mentioned parents not wanting their kids to tell them what to do. When there are a lot of moves that are made under very good circumstances, but there are also a lot of moves to smaller quarters that are not made under good circumstances.
Right.
It's made because a spouse passed away, or because health has been declining. So in addition to the stress of moving, which for anyone of any age is right up there with death and divorce,
right,
we have a number of stressors that our clients have been dealing with. They are moving from a house of 30, 40, or 50 years. They might have had health crises. They have a lot going on, which just adds to their stress. And the stress, in turn, makes it harder to make decisions. So it really starts to feel
like a
catch-22.
We're going to take a little bit of a break now. And when we come
we'll
talk about the process, what the process is all about.
The process is
how it's really done. And we'll take
a
little bit of a break now, and then we're going to talk about that process.
You may think that I'm full of
And you think
it,
about it. What would you give away? How would you feel if you downside? We'll be back in just a moment.
And I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da.
Okay, so now when we come back, we have our second segment, and we will talk about what you do in an organized way. In other words, what's the first part, second part, that sort of thing. All right?
Absolutely.
And also, this is up to you. Do you want to talk about the cost or how you charge?
I'll be happy to do that as well.
Okay, good.
So with almost all senior move managers, the client calls our office. We are not calling them, we don't have a hard sell. A client will call here, they'll describe a little bit about their situation, and we will schedule a time to go visit with them.
Okay, so we're going to be on the air now. Okay, we're going on the air now. And you'll start that right now. And you're going to hear music and introduction. Okay, so we're ready. I'm also going to ask you to tell where they can find you. That's going to be right up front.
Okay,
that'll be my first question. Go ahead, Stuart, now. I apologize.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
And we are inappropriate for our age. We're out there, we're loud, and we're proud. And we have a little bit of ageism going on these days because of our popularity. Have you noticed that there are more and more movies around that deal with older age? In fact, 45 years was one of the more famous ones at the Academy Awards this year. And it was 45 years stood for a 45-year marriage. So we're getting more and more people who are playing their age, and some of them are just amazing. The performances are fearless. So one that I would like to talk about for just a moment and put into the archives of our ageism police is Doris. Now, you know that Sally Fields played Doris, and if you didn't see it, you should. It's an amazingly happy movie about a quirky person of a certain age who falls in love with a younger man, and it's totally unrequited. She does a fantastic performance. And my only reason that I have to give this an 8 and not a 10, because 10 is the best for the view of what older means, is that he had no interest in her at all. don't you be surprised, folks. There's plenty of May-December romances out there where the December is the woman. But in this case, they made it seem impossible that he could possibly go for her. And you know what? That ain't the truth. So I'm not giving it a 10. I'm giving it an 8. On the other hand, I'm giving a 10 to The Lady in the Van, one of the most heartbreaking movies and yet inspirational about aging. And this is the case of somebody who is aging and homeless. And if you live in the city of New York, Chicago, L.A., places where you do see older people who are homeless and you wonder, how could they have made it? Well, I want you to know that you're looking at a very good story. Whoever you're looking at, if they're older and they are homeless, although it's heartbreaking, boy, the story behind that is probably movie worthy. The Lady in the Van. All right, now we're going to speak with Margaret Novick because she touches a nerve. She's the founding president of the National Association of Senior Move Managers, something that you may be using in your own life or in the life of your parents. But Margaret, before we talk, tell everybody where to find your organization.
To find senior move managers near you, go to www.NASM, that's N as in Nancy, A as in Albert, S as in Sam, M as in Mary, M as in Mary.com. So that's NASM.com, NASMM. And right at the top of the homepage will be Find a Senior Move Manager. You can put in a zip code or you can click on a state and get qualified NASM members.
Right, so now once you've done that, the process could begin. If you decide that, yes, this is the person for my family to work with, what happens exactly?
Well, you would call a senior move manager, and we would come out and visit with you. That visit usually is without fee or obligation, and it's usually at least an hour long. Our job is to talk with you, to get a sense of your living situation, to find out what your priorities are. Someone may be calling us because their house now has an agreement of sale and they want to move in 8 weeks and need a plan of how to make it happen. They might need help with organizing and downsizing. We could help them with the floor plan. We would pack everything up, schedule movers, and unpack and put everything away. Someone might be calling us because they need help to get their house on the market. And they're 6 months from moving, but they know that they need to declutter to maximize the value of their home. So we have a menu of services, and what we do is somewhat related to where someone is in the timeline of their move plan.
Yes.
We are professional packers and unpackers. We are not movers, but all of us work with insured licensed movers. And we can, although we don't have a financial relationship with these movers, we give them a lot of business, so they have a very good incentive to provide very good service for our clients.
Right. So then the cost depends on the menu of services that they might.
That's correct.
From you.
And
okay.
No one used a move manager before because the whole industry didn't exist before 2002. Some of us, I started in 1996. I wasn't even sure what to call myself.
Sure, that could. It was a wonderful niche.
It is a great niche, and in 1999, applied for the American Society on Aging Business Forum on Aging Award and was named Business of the Year. And they said, you are at the forefront of what will be an entire industry.
Yeah,
NASA hadn't even been dreamt up yet. That didn't come for 3 years later. But this now has NASA as 1,000 members, and there are people located throughout the country, in Canada, in fact, in Australia, in Europe, because aging is global. And,
now,
and
you know,
the need for help when you're moving is universal.
Yeah, no, I actually remember, and I remember the beginning of this, and it might have been you just trying to explain people what is it, and now I think it's much more accepted. Now, the other part of this is storage. There's so many little bits and pieces of this that you bring together. Yeah, people don't want to get rid of something, but they don't want to bring it into the new place just as yet. Maybe they don't even have a new place yet. It's being built. Do you take care of resources like storage resources as well as the movers?
Yes, we do. Move managers have an array of trusted resources that we can provide to clients. Most people that we work with do not end up putting a lot into storage. The happiest storage scenario, I think, is when somebody sells their house at a great price more quickly than they anticipated. And while people would say, oh, my God, I'll need to move twice, most of what they have stays in storage, and not having to worry about your house selling is not a horrible thing. So there are some people who put things in storage. It is an ongoing expense. But I also, when I am dealing with, let's say, adult children who say, no, Mom, you're not putting anything into storage, I may say, your mom has done the best she could with downsizing. She got ill this last month and hasn't been able to continue. There's a bunch of things that haven't been sorted. It's not a crime to put something in storage for a few months. It's not a great financial decision, but it's not like hitting someone in your car and leaving the scene of an accident. It's not a venial sin. It's simply not a good financial decision. But sometimes the right decision is the one the client can handle and deal with it later when they have more resources.
Yeah,
so
I
am a big believer in plan B is sometimes the best plan.
You know, what you do is such a combination of the practical and the emotionally sensitive that it really is amazing that there are 1,000 people, 1,000 companies, probably more than 1,000 people, that
yep.
are entering this business because it's not an easy one emotionally for them, I would imagine. For the managers themselves, I'm sure they take home some of these aches with them every single day. So these are sensitive.
I think that more
people.
Than something sadness, we take home a lot of inspiration. Our clients are amazingly resilient. Many of them have been through incredible lives. They've sometimes have been through dramatic losses. And we hear stories of lives that sometimes just leave us breathless, as well as their courage and determination.
We're going to take a little bit of a break now, Margaret, and we're going to say goodbye for now, but not forever. This is the National Association of Senior Managers, an incredible service. We'll be right back.
For my age. Da, 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 da. Da, 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 da.
Okay, so we always clean that up at the end. Don't worry about it. That was great. That was great and very inspirational at the end. So congratulations.
Thank you very much.
On building that business. I mean, I don't know. It was many years ago at an ASA booth.
It probably was at ASA. I did a program there this past year, but I have not gone for the past 5 or 6 years. I've been so involved in the NASM seminars. But for a number of years, I went to ASA, and because I knew I wasn't a professional in moving, I was a professional in aging.
Right.
And it's been a great run for me because I've written all of the NASM training materials. And develop training for staff members because that's where the rubber meets the road. I really feel like, and you must feel the same way, that
right.
I found my niche and my legacy in senior move
right.
management, and
right.
I just feel incredibly lucky.
Let me tell you one of the things that I need, and I'm going to be speaking with Bob Lancato from the ASA about that today. This is the second time. The show needs promotion. We also win awards, and it is not monetized. This is, I have to tell you, it's one of my ways of giving back because
yep.
we have a financial company, which is, financial. It's a consulting company to companies that want to market to the older adult and the baby boomer and the caregiver, and that's my business. But professionals are not listening to the show. The consumers are, but the professionals aren't. So any way that you can let your membership know the show is on, they can listen to it in an app, they can listen to it live in 38 states, and they can just go on the computer, GenerationBoldRadio.com, would be much appreciated with us. Even if what you do is send them your own link, which we'll send you, to this to the interview, they'll at least know
okay.
the show is there. Okay?
Well, one of the ways to potentially do that is you could be building on what we've discussed. I've discussed it as a senior move manager.
Right.
I don't talk much about Moving Solutions. I probably didn't even mention the name Moving Solutions, and that's one of the things that I do. I never market my business for better or for worse. But I would say contact Jennifer Pickett or Mary Kay Bicey. They are the executive directors of NASM. So I think a great way to get NASM telling its members, all 1,000 of them, about your program is to interview NASM.
Okay. Okay. I will do.
So I
want to
give you the name, Mary Kay Bicey.
I have a pen. Let me take that down. And go ahead, Mary. I have that.
Mary K. It's one. I hate people with two parts to their name. The K is a separate word and it's capitalized.
Okay.
And the Bicey is B U Y S S E. And her email is Mary K. One word.
K A Y, right?
K A Y. But as an email, there's no upper, you know, upper and lowercase aren't going to matter.
Right.
Mary K at NASM.com. And
right.
It's a good idea to also copy Jennifer at NASM.com.
Right.
And you can let them know that we've spoken. And because if she is, if they are interviewed, they will be putting it, one, on the NASM listserv.
Right.
And they'll also be letting all members know about it. And if you would like, and if there is this app for listening, make sure that Mary Kay has that information, because that's the way it would get to all of the NASM members.
Great. I appreciate it.
So,
and we'll send you.
I mean, strategically, there's a reason for going to her, because I think she can help you accomplish one of your goals.
Great. So I'm going to send you, it'll be a few days, the link to your archived show.
Okay.
It's going to be live this Sunday, but it's also going to be archived. So that anytime you want to have it for your purposes, you got it. Okay?
Super. Thanks very much.
Thank you. It was great. Take care.
Hey, right, bye-bye.
You hang up, but I don't. What happened? Right. But can we start with Blancato?
Yeah, we can.
But did we miss?
No, we didn't.
You didn't find the envelope yet, right?
I have
to look for it. I was so excited, I thought that.
Hello? Hello? Hello, Bob? Hello?
Hello?
Yes,
yes,
Bob?
Bob Blancato, can you hear me?
Okay, but yeah, I can hear you good. Thank you very much. Hang on, I'll put Adrian on. She's just stepped away for a second. We'll start recording as soon as you guys do your preliminaries. So hang on, okay?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Hang on, she's down the other part of the
Bob? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hi.
Hi, are you on a speaker, Bob?
I am. Should I take it off?
Yeah, please, off speaker, because the speaker has a delay, and it also the sound is not as good. So yes.
Okay,
so
how's that?
That's better.
I'm off
and Adrian is here, so hang on 1 second.
All right.
Hi, how are you?
Good morning, Adrian. Fine. How are you?
Good. Do you want me to introduce you with your many hats? today.
Oh, let's go with the most recent one, I guess, with the chairman of the American Society on Aging. And,
perfect.
You know, that'll work.
Okay, so what I want to talk about is just that. You can review anything that you thought were the highlights of the conference, because people have been, I've been promoting that the conference is going on. And also the missions, the trends, what you're looking at the Society of Aging, what your future focus is going to be. Is
okay.
that good?
Sure.
And is there anything particular that you want me to ask?
No, I think you probably have it figured out, you know.
Okay, and remember, these are the consumers, so they may not know there is an ASA.
Okay, well,
and
we'll
want to tell them that there is and what it does, right?
Right. Okay.
And its importance, you know, in the whole world of successful aging. Okay? So
exactly.
We're ready to go. We do two segments. We just did the first half of the show. You're the second half of the show. You were already promoted. And we're ready to rock and roll. You'll hear the music. I think you've done this before with me more than once.
Yeah.
So be great. Okay, Stu, we're ready. Sure.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate.
And this is Adrian Berg, and this is Generation Bold, and this is the Fountain of Truth. And we will soon have with us the chairman of the American Society on Aging, Bob Blancato, to talk about what are the real missions of the ASA. What do we really want to look at for our own successful aging? There is so much fluff and hype going on that 60 is the new 30, and more money is spent on cosmetology and surgeries than ever before. The anti-aging medicine has really nothing to do with medicine. It has to do with a really good facelift. But there are some very, very special and important messages coming out of the ASA that can make a real transformation in our futures. And Bob is going to tell us about that. And I just want to carry on for 1 second. We did our Ageism Police, which we do every single show. And this particular time, we outed Doris and Lady in the Van and gave them pretty good reviews when it comes to the media and movies portraying people who are a little older. But watch for it. Watch for it. Very, very soon, you're going to see something entirely different. You're going to see the cartoons where the little kids are watching and getting images of aging improve. Many cartoons do never show an older adult in any aspect, even an older adult animal in any aspect. But you're going to see that change, and that's going to make the real sea change. When people begin to see getting older from the time that they are small as a benefit and not as a deficit, so that people could be growing up less ageist. And the only way to do that is to start early and start often. I'm personally waiting for the postmenopausal Bobby doll, but that may happen. We'll say hello now to Bob Blancato, who is the chairman of the American Society on Aging. Thank you for being on the show again, Bob.
Thank you, Adrian, and congratulations to you on that work on combating ageism. And that is, since you talked about what it is that we are spending time on with the American Society on Aging, that is one of the topics. You know, we have said, in fact, I wrote in one of our Generations, which is our quarterly journal, that, you know, not everybody can be a victim of sexism. Not everybody can be a victim of racism, but virtually everybody can be a victim of ageism. And we spend the least amount of time focusing our attention on that issue. And I give you tremendous credit for doing your part. I think we need a national conversation on the subject. We did a focus group at our conference with a group called Frameworks, which is doing new work in reframing the conversation around aging. And we're hopeful that a combination of different things will lead us to a more positive assessment of getting older in this country.
So you know that the real mission of this show, the Fountain of Truth, is to combat ageism. That is the essential mission. And
it is,
what
always
we
was,
take
right?
on, yeah, always was. What we take on is the media, the advertising, the movies, the way we're portrayed in a variety of things, or in the way that we're left out. Sometimes ageism is conspicuous for its absence, as opposed to anything negative when it is portrayed. So we just don't exist. I just did an article, which we'll put on the blog, called My Friend's Hat, and it was about the fact that generally when I walk in the street, I'm invisible. But my friend wore a certain hat, and what visibility meant to us just in the moment-to-moment walking in the streets of Manhattan. It was a very interesting feeling that I never right. realized that I all of a sudden was invisible until I became visible. And that happened over time, and it happened because I'm an older woman instead of a younger woman. So it's so organic with us that sometimes we even have ageism against ourselves. But tell everybody what the ASA is, because it's such a professional organization that the consumer may not know it exists. Let's hear about it.
Right. Well, you know, at a time when the American society is aging, you know, we are the only American society on aging, and our purpose is to be an essential resource to cultivate leadership, advance knowledge, and strengthen the skills of people who work with or on behalf of older adults. And, you know, we want to use that our forum, our education products, our training products, our conference as a means of advancing important issues in the field of aging, but also, you know, giving people who are in this field an opportunity to advance, while at the same time, you know, being advocates for important policy changes that need to happen to improve the lives of older people in this country. And if you looked at what we focused on in our conference this year, just a few weeks back, we covered things like the future for community-based services for older adults and their families as we see managed care coming into our communities and changing the landscape, unleashing the $8 trillion longevity bonus in this country, in other words, the growing aging of our population and, you know, the productive use of people's time, volunteer time, continuing to work and what that can contribute to our economy. Discussing aging and its financial implications and planning for housing, which is an important issue. We did a lot of work on the area of poverty. We see an increase in the amount of older people falling into poverty, which is a great concern. And then probably the most moving program we did at our conference this year was at the very end of the program. It was a session on aging and resilience, the lived experience of three Holocaust survivors. Who gave remarkable, remarkable stories about not only surviving the Holocaust, but now, you know, trying to work through challenges associated with aging, but doing it in a positive way. And it was really a remarkable presentation.
You know, the issues of aging are so myriad that it's almost impossible to say that it's under one umbrella. The ASA does a pretty good job. And what I would like the listeners to know is this. If you go to a senior center, if you have a community-based health facility, if you're going to a gym that caters to people who are the mature, probably one of the professionals that's working with you one-on-one has been influenced by something that the ASA did. Either one of their programs, or they went to a conference, or they heard a lecture, or they did something online, or they met a friend. So you have no idea that this is an under-the-radar organization for the consumer. It's top of mind to any professional in the field. But you have no idea how much this organization influences you. Plus, Bob Lancato is an advocate. In his private life, he runs one of the most important lobbying groups and consulting groups in Washington, D.C. that deals with aging. So I'm pretty sure that as Chairman Bob, you're going to bring some of those skills to advocacy. If you could wave the magic wand, the Lancato wand, and say, this is what I would like to accomplish. This is the change I'd like to see. What would it be?
Wow. If I could wave the magic wand. Well, I think, first of all, I'm going to go back to an earlier point that you made. I do want to make ASA more relevant to not only the people who work in the field, but consumers as well. And if a professional can benefit from our education programs, then so should consumers. And we should be more consumer generated in our work. But I think if I could wave the magic wand, it would probably be somewhere between having us make a much more concerted effort to fight poverty among older people, which is really a failure of society if we let the oldest of our citizens and most vulnerable endure things like poverty and economic insecurity. And the other thing is, I think we do. I want us to lead the national conversation against ageism, and I think we're in a unique position to do so. And I think we should rally the cause, because for me it would be a personal interest, because almost 40 years ago now, when I worked for the House Committee on Aging for a gentleman named Claude Pepper, who was a tremendous advocate for older people, his number one issue when he started as chairman of the committee was to end mandatory retirement in this country, which we had back then at 65. And his simple message was, it should be about ability and not age that determines how long people can work. And he led an effort that led to the law being changed, raising the age to 70 and getting rid of it for most forms of employment in this country. And, you know, there's nothing that says we can't go back and have those same conversations now, make changes in the laws when we need to. But in general, just, you know, see what we can do. And I think the end of the day, to make things even more topical, because another area, of course, that got a lot of attention at our conference was this presidential election,
you bet.
which is filled with all kinds of interesting components, as you know. I mean, let's start with the fact that the three of the main candidates are also the three oldest candidates.
That's
you
right.
know, Senator Sanders at 74, and Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump both approaching 70. The oldest candidate is getting the youngest vote.
Right.
But none of the candidates, in my judgment, yet have sufficiently addressed the issues of older Americans,
we're going to take a little bit of a break, Bob, but you have to do that. But I will tell you that not one word has been spoken about the older American in this campaign. We'll be back in a minute, and we're going to continue that conversation, Bob, because I think it's on everyone's mind. Generation Bold, don't go away.
And I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da.
Okay, we're going to go back, and we're going to start where we left off, okay,
mm-hmm.
on the issue of the election. And if we have time, I really do want to talk a bit about poverty and aging. I'd like to talk a lot about it, really, just don't have time on the show. But my question is going to be, how can this be? And you'll see what I mean. Okay, Sue?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's just resaying that. And then if you could stay on for a minute afterwards, I would like to find out what I could do with regard to the issue of ageism, because I do tend to live in my own world and be by myself as, you know, a single force on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
But I would love to be, and I have to pick my spots in terms of where I put my time, because I still run a business, as you do, but this is something I would want to put my time to. Of everything that's been my mission, it's been that. And if that's in the forefront now with the ASA, I really feel great that's something that's being focused on. So are we okay? I'm ready to go. Yeah, we're ready to go.
You may think that I'm full of it. Doesn't bother me, not even a bit, 'cause I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
Now, when is too old to run for president? Bob Lancato, who is one of the most fearless guys I know, brought up on his own, without being asked, the political election, the presidential election. And Bob Lancato is the chairman of the American Society on Aging, and he is stepping where most men fear to tread, discussing the candidates. And he began at the end of our last segment talking about the fact that there's no spring chickens running for office. So continue, Bob, with what you were saying.
Well, the you know, it's fascinating that of the major candidates, you know, the three oldest ones are doing as well as any, meaning Senator Sanders at 74 and Secretary Clinton and Donald Trump, who are approaching 70. But the need is to recognize the issues of the older voter, who are going to have a huge impact on who steps into the Oval Office on January 20th of 2017. The older voter will go from 16% of the voting population in 2012 to 23% in 2016. So that's a huge jump. And, you know, they need to have their issues on the forefront for both and all the candidates. And so far, you know, with very limited exceptions, you know, that has not been the case. I've heard Donald Trump talk about not fooling around with Social Security, you know, and Secretary Clinton has talked about a family caregiver tax credit, which is a critically important thing. And Senator Sanders, you know, has brought the economic inequality issue to a intergenerational focus, meaning an older people would be, you know, are affected by it as well. But there needs to be a concentrated effort, a platform, if you will, that can, you know, appeal to people 60 years and above, who can see who it is that's going to, you know, have the vision to address their issues, recognizing the fact that an older voter, you know, cares about issues pertaining to their programs, but also care about issues that affect their children and their grandchildren. So a perfect example of that is Social Security, which is not only our largest program for older adults, it's the largest children's program we have in this
country.
That's
correct.
So strengthening Social Security has huge implications, and somebody needs to be looking at that now, okay? The program is not in crisis, but that's the time when you start thinking ahead about how do you strengthen it for the next generation. And, you know, looking for that vision is going to be very important coming into the general election once we get there.
Now, there's a couple of things here. I just recently did an article on Social Security for a financial publication, and I went back on YouTube and to listen to FDR when he put Social Security into law. It was fascinating because what he said was, this is going to cover 30 million people. Meanwhile, we have 78 million baby boomers. But what he said was, this is a program for children and people who are unemployed and the aged. So we don't see Social Security as broadly as it really impacts us. And we've got allies here across the generation in strengthening Social Security. But what you say is very interesting. Looking at ageism and the media, I'm fascinated by the fact, and I'm trying to chronicle this, that Bernie Sanders, they do talk about his age. Trump and, I can't believe Clinton.
Hillary Clinton?
They don't. And they're not that far apart in age. And
no,
there's so many studies that say, when are we old? And apparently, it's still, even for the media, who looks old? We still have that thing going that you're not old until you look it, no matter what you are inside and what your chronology is. So we can also take a look at what the media is doing to these candidates just from that point of view.
Well, let me just say this, Adrian. The thing about the media that I find most disturbing is that in all the opportunities they have in these town halls and these televised debates and these huge opportunities, you know, that draw millions of people, they never ask a question that pertains to older people.
That's true.
And one would say that there's your opportunity because, you know, what you need in a campaign, you know, is have those questions raised at the ground level so that, you know, the media, particularly if someone doesn't answer it correctly, and we've seen what's happened to candidates when they give the wrong answer or they give that deer in the headlight look or something, and next thing you know, the media focuses on that issue because they want to know more about it. And we need to stress that. I know AARP is doing that, actually. AARP is pressuring the networks and the moderators of debates in the future to have these issues come forward.
We used to say, Bob, that you know, Social Security was the third rail of politics because older adults vote and are seen as a very strong bloc. Do you think that they're courting us as much as they did in the past?
Well, you've got a situation now where in the last three national elections, 2010, 2012, and 2014, including one presidential election, the older voter flipped to the Republicans in a significant way for two reasons. One is the Affordable Care Act and the misperception that was put out that the Affordable Care Act was going to cut into Medicare and make it weaker. And in fact, after 6 years, what it's done is actually made Medicare stronger by making reforms and strengthening the solvency of the program. The other issue, as sad as it is to say, was the fact that Barack Obama was at the top of the ticket. And, you know, there are still bastions of people, older voters, who just would never accept that fact. So now in 2016, you don't have Obama at the head of the ticket, and the Affordable Care Act is not as toxic an issue as it relates to older voters as it was before. So now this big block of voters are in play again. And so then it becomes incumbent on particularly the Democrats to do the thing that will motivate these voters to flip back over to them. So if the Democrats cut in any significant way to the Republican lead among older voters, that's their ticket to victory. And if the Republicans hang on to their margin with older voters, then that could be their ticket to victory. So they become hugely important, and the question will be, you know, who's going to be most aggressive in addressing their issues and who's going to get them most motivated to vote for them.
I also think that there's a very big missing. Unfortunately, we're getting to the end of the show. Leslie Stahl, CBS, wrote a book about being a grandmother. It's just out. And what she said was it was organic, scientific. The molecules of her body changed, and she became passionate again in life about family. We forget that how much we care about the environment and how much we care about safety in the future, not in our own lives, in the lives of our grandkids, and that is never addressed. They never make that connection that those issues are our issues too. So I hope
that people will start listening.
So, Bob, I thank you so much for being with us. We're going to do more and more of this and get your mission out right on our blog and the wonderful work, and congratulations on the chairmanship.
Thank you, Adrienne. Nice to be back with you.
It's wonderful. And we'll be back, of course, next week, but right now you know what I'm going to say. Get out there, kids, and make it happen. I think this was a perfect show, Bob. I really do.
Well, I'm glad to be involved. Thank you very much. And I will send you, let me give you a couple of ideas on email about what you can do, you know, relative to the whole ages and thing, because I'm still working through what we're going to be doing next, and there is a role at it, but I want to, you know, have a chance to think it out a little bit and send you an email. Does that work?
Okay. So it's wonderful. So just to bring you up to date, we are still running a pretty good, we'll call it a marketing firm. I mean, we like to say consulting, but it's not. And we now are in the West Coast, too. We have a branch for hotels, hospitality, and spas on the West Coast for consulting with them and helping them build and reach the mature and the baby boomer. Okay? So that's very nice. And we're also doing a lot of work in personal finance, a lot of work with insurance companies and annuities on what they can really guarantee so that people don't run out of money in a way that people can understand and not get just sold something and they don't get it. They get a surprise. There's a lot of great products out there. Incredible.
Right.
But they're so complicated that people either buy it blindly or they don't buy it at all. So we're working a lot on that as an educational type of thing to get into the weeds and write consumer-friendly material that people can understand when they're doing. So that's where we're at. That's
good for you. That's good. That's good.
That's good. But in my heart is all this stuff about which I think is the worst baloney that 60 is the new 30. This I would kill. That would be the first thing I'd get rid of because on many, many levels. But anything that I could do, and, of course, as I told you, the one flaw in my show is that professionals don't know it's there. And so I'm telling you directly, I really would like anything that ASA can do to just let professionals know it exists. And you
That. You know, send me what you put out as your promotional stuff on that, and let's see if we can get it into some of our, online stuff and see if we can just, you know, get a little publicity that way.
Okay, very good. And that's all. But in terms of the other, that's even more important to me. Because I have such a view of it. Okay? Thank you.
Have a wonderful day.
You too. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.